Our main Bible passage this afternoon is taken from Romans chapter 8, short passage, taking us from verse 28 to 30. So this morning we were thinking about the providence of God, and one of the verses that we referred to was Romans 8, 28. And so I want us to sort of focus a bit more on that particular verse this afternoon. Verse 28 of Romans 8. "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." Well, may the Lord just add his blessing to those verses as we consider one of them this afternoon. Let's pray. We thank you, gracious God, that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you indeed that as we have just sung, that you are faithful to your promises, that the work you've begun in us you will bring to completion. And we thank you that we have set our hope upon that faithfulness, and on this we build our lives. All your promises forever are yes in Jesus Christ. Teach us from your word this afternoon, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Do I believe that? I ask the question not because I doubt Scripture, but because it is one of the hardest promises for us to grasp, and one of the most difficult to see working when it comes to our own Christian experience. Because what we have here is a confession of faith in the sovereignty of God, in his absolute, his ultimate authority, his rule over everything in this world that he has created. And as we saw this morning, this promise in Romans 8:28 is testimony to what we call the providence of God, meaning that act of God providing for or sustaining and governing the universe. And our text here in Romans 8 is a call to believe that God always has a purpose in everything in the lives of his children, and always has a promise for our future, which is will be in the presence of Jesus in glory. So there's a couple of things that I want us to draw out of Romans 8:28. First of all, certainty in God's promise. Certainty in God's promise. You know, it comes across, doesn't it, as a very confident Paul who can say, "We know." There are times when he does say, "I know. I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day." And when he writes to Timothy, he says, "I know." But here he says, "We know." It's a call to faith. But he seems, doesn't he, to be really sticking his neck out as he writes this to these Christians in Rome. Life is not easy for them. But we know, says Paul. Faith says that there are things I can't see, but there is the God that I know. Because we know at the beginning of verse 28, we know because we are called, which is at the end of that verse. And these two great statements, we know, we're called, they act, if you like, as bookends to what comes between. And what comes between? That all things work together for the good of those who love God. Now, it may seem obvious from the text, but to whom does this promise apply? It is for those, says Paul, who love God. It is indeed for those who are God's children through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his work at the cross for us. And so what we have here is a promise for the Christian. And as with providence, the promise here makes sense of our lives. Romans 8:28 is also a source of great comfort when it is properly understood. And that understanding includes what it does say, but it includes also what it doesn't say. For it doesn't say that all things are good, only that the end purpose is good. So Paul is not suggesting to the Christians in Rome that everything is good in the believer's life. He knew that it wasn't. They knew also. He knew certainly from his own experience, didn't he? There were many things that came his way that were not good. In fact, sometimes he spends quite a part of his letter just reeling them out. This is what's happened to me. This is what I've been through. But I still trust in the Lord. So it wasn't always good. Neither is he saying that everything does us good. I guess that we can testify to that, can't we? If we were to go back right to the Genesis and Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, we have that story, well known perhaps to most of us, but we have that story of Joseph's brothers selling him into slavery. And he spends years, doesn't he, in prison for something he hasn't done when he's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And therefore, he's thrown away, dispensed with, as it were. As far as he knew, no one knew he was there. Certainly, his family didn't know. But what does he say to his brothers years later? He says this, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." Because that story goes through where eventually he is in a position where he is able to pretty much save a whole nation from famine. And what those brothers did all that way back was not good. In fact, it was evil. They even cover their tracks, not only by telling lies, but by faking Joseph's death and putting their father through so much pain and grief through their lie. And yet, Joseph can turn around later, after all that he had suffered, and said God meant it for good. God had a purpose in it. And it was before them at that time, all those millions of people who were alive because he was able to save them. And so our verse back in Romans 8 tells us that God has a purpose in all things in the life of his people. If he didn't, then those things that we endure would quite frankly be pointless. They would have no reason, and perhaps that's how we feel a lot of the time, that what happens has no reason, has no end game, as it were. But this verse is saying no, it's not like that. That God knows, God allows, God intends. and God has a reason for it. The Old Testament character Job suffered greatly, and yet he was moved to say this to God in Job 42, verse 2. I know, there is again, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. I feel very challenged by that. Whether I don't know how familiar you are about Job's experience, but health-wise, he goes through so much pain and suffering. He loses everything he has. He loses his loved ones. And terrible things. And yet he's able to turn around. It doesn't mean that he understands everything, but he turns around and says, look, Lord, you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. And I ask myself whether tomorrow morning I can get up and say that. And at the end of this week, whatever it brings, to say that. Part of that plan, that purpose of God for us, is calling us to saving faith. It's those in this verse who love God and are called. Here's a question. How can I know whether God has called me or not? When I heard the gospel that Christ died for sinners and that God offers forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all who believe in Christ, did I believe? Did I come to Jesus? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have trusted in him alone for your salvation, as he has offered it in the gospel, you are possessed of the love of God. You know saving faith. We love him because he first loved us. Back in verse 18, Paul has assured his readers that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And this is arguably the immediate context for this great statement in our text in verse 28. And let me say this, God's purpose for those whom he calls to salvation is their ultimate eternal good. And there will be times of suffering. And that, it seems, for a while to include what we identified this morning as dark or hard providences. Remember, providence, we said, is God's purposeful sovereignty. It is the act of providing for or sustaining, governing the universe. And so there can be big things. There can be tsunamis, wars, terrible accidents, desperate health problems. But this verse also includes the relatively minor, small things of life. The daily hassles, problems at work, the car trouble, traffic jams, relationship problems, discouraging situations. Things that are not good in themselves and yet are a part of the all things of Romans 8, 28. God is not oblivious to these things. Perhaps there are difficulties that we're passing through at the moment. There is no way that we can possibly be expected to see any good from them if only other people knew what it was like. Perhaps you're struggling with anxiety or stress, you're fighting depression, or you feel physically defeated and exhausted. If I've lost my job, in what way do I see the loss working for my good? Is the problem that I need to believe harder? No. So what is it? Well, we have certainty in God's promise here, but we can also have comfort in God's promise. It's trusting in God. It's living by faith in Jesus. The problem is that now I feel worse about things because I'm not being reassured by what our text is saying. If that's the case, try reviewing God's promises. There are over 7,000, apparently, promises of God in the scriptures. So it's not difficult to find them. But let's continually keep our eyes fixed. Let's review God's promises if we're feeling that we're really struggling. Maybe it's time for us to scale back on some of those things in life which feed our doubts and fears. What we put ourselves into, situations we put ourselves in, what we allow our minds to consider and our eyes to see, the things that we do. Let's remember who we are before God. We're loved children. We're secure because we have an inheritance that no one can take away from us. At the end of the service this afternoon, we're going to sing these words: loved with everlasting love, led by grace, that love to know. Spirit breathing from above, you have taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace, joy and wonder, all divine, in a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. To find that place, to be taught that we are loved, to experience that grace that gives us that full and perfect peace, that which gives us joy and wonder as we put our trust in Jesus. John MacArthur wrote, "No statement made to a believer," concerning Romans 8:28, "no statement made to a believer could contribute more hope, more happiness, more freedom, and more joy in the heart than that statement. Because what it says is that no matter what pain, no matter what problems, no matter what failures, no matter what difficulties, no matter what disasters, no matter what sins, no matter what suffering, no matter what temptation, all things work together for good." Just glance down, if you've got your Bible open, at verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword?" Who shall separate us from the love of God? Any of those things? Do you know the answer? It's in verse 37. "No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What a wonderful truth to hold on to. It's true that we are much more willing to attribute the pleasant events of our life to the hand of God than we are the painful experiences. And God is good, and God is gracious. We give thanks for the joys rather than for the sorrows. And yet 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. All things working together. Notice that God is able to work all things and not some things. All things means there is nothing which falls outside the purview of God's control and God's authority, nor ultimately does it work contrary to our good? He works them for good together, not in isolation. And I find that comforting, because I tend to judge things in isolation. But God works things together. I wonder if this afternoon you fancy eating a few tablespoons of plain flour, or some caster sugar, or how about some cocoa powder, or some baking powder, or a couple of raw eggs. But pull them all together and add a few more ingredients that you still wouldn't eat on their own. Then apply heat. Now, how would you like a slice of chocolate cake? The individual ingredients don't feel good in themselves, do they? But work together, something good comes from them. Unless, of course, you're a bad cook. So if that's the case, just ignore the illustration and I'll find another one for you. We sometimes sing, don't we? Teach me humbly to receive the sun and the rain of your sovereignty. Each strand of sorrow has a place within this tapestry of grace. Yeah? So through the trials, I choose to say, your perfect will in your perfect way. That lovely picture, again, if you're not a good cook, then how about the one of a tapestry? When you look at the tapestry hanging there, all the beauty of its stitching and the wonderful beauty of the picture that it gives you, the final picture. But then just turn it over and see all the knots and the ends. It doesn't make any sense at all. But the finished article, when you look at it properly, you see it's all worked together. And there will be some strands of sorrow. And maybe there's strands of sorrow for you now. But it is part of this tapestry of grace. God works all things together for good, even if we can't see it at the time. Another preacher wrote, when we look at life with a Romans 8:28 shaped perspective, start again. When we look at life with a Romans 8:28 shaped perspective, everything changes. Sure, many of our circumstances stay the same. We face many of the challenges that we've always had. But we face them with a new heart and with the great hope of eternal life. You know, I'm drawn to God's word to his people Israel in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. That's the heart of God for our good. The story is told of a professor he ended his lecture one day by saying to his class of seminary students, tomorrow I will be teaching on Romans chapter 8. So tonight, as you study, pay special attention to verse 28. Notice what this verse truly says and what it doesn't say. And then he added this, one final word before I dismiss you. Whatever happens in all the years to come, remember, Romans 8:28 will always hold true. Later that very same day, this professor and his wife met with a tragic accident. She was killed instantly, and he was crippled permanently. Months later, the professor returned to his students, who clearly remembered his last words. The room was hushed as he began his lecture. Romans 8:28, he said, still holds true. One day we shall see God's good, even in this. So maybe we may be encouraged this afternoon as we trust in him. Certainty in the promise, but also comfort in the promise.